We'll call the meeting to order. Good evening, everyone. And let's see. Do you wish to make any announcements to begin this evening, or are we just good to proceed?
We're good to proceed, although we could note that this is our first meeting with the order in the new format. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
And then, Mr. Wheatley, I would just remind everybody in attendance, and I don't know if you were going to make the announcement about, we're sort of operating under the new rules where if you're seated or at the podium, you don't need to wear a mask, but we do ask that anybody who's moving about or coming to the podium or returning from the podium to wear a mask at all times. But as long as you're seated and separated by 6 feet, we're following the rules that county council's adopted, which is that you don't need to wear the mask in those situations.
Okay.
The restaurant rules kind of what we're
there we go.
Calling it.
So. All right. Thank you. Anything else?
Other than to note that because the agenda was advertised with public hearings starting at 5:30, Mr. Chairman, those hearings cannot begin until 5:30.
Of course. Okay. Understood. And they certainly will not. So. All right, then, our first order of business is the approval of the agenda. Any changes to the agenda this evening?
No changes, thank you.
Okay.
Move for approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as posted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the August 13, 2020 meeting.
Any changes? There were some minor changes to that we'd picked up on, so if you choose to move on that would be as revised. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve the minutes as revised.
A second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes as revised. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, on to other business. Our first item of other business is Tower Hill Subdivision, Subdivision 2018-17, formerly known as the Groom Property, Final Subdivision Plan and Landscape Plan.
This is a final subdivision plan and landscape plan for a proposed cluster subdivision to consist of 292 single-family lots accessed off New Road, which is Sussex County Road 266. The site will also include amenities such as a pool, clubhouse, and associated improvements. The preliminary subdivision plan was approved with conditions by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, December 20th, 2018. Condition D of the conditions of approval requires a 6-foot-tall berm to be planted within the 50-foot buffer along the northwest boundary of the subject site to provide a visual buffer from the active shooting area adjacent to this development. The condition also clarifies that this berm shall not be required in wetland areas or in areas containing known archaeological or historical artifacts. Staff have received two letters and supplemental map from Mr. Edward Otter, which outlines that several areas within the proposed buffer area on the northwest portion of the site were identified as containing archaeological or historical artifacts. Additionally, the applicant has confirmed that there are no active shooting sites adjacent to the property which require visual screening and that there are wetlands on the northern portion of the property east of Lynn Road. The applicant has stated that a draft archaeological report will be made available on approximately April 1st of 2021 with a final report to follow when all detailed analysis has been completed. The final site plan otherwise complies with the Sussex County Zoning and Subdivision Code. And the tax parcels are District 335, Map 8, Parcels 2 and 2.02. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and staff are in receipt of all agency approvals.
Have some issue with this because this property is next to an active shooting area. In fact, there is a sign there that says this is a hunting preserve and no trespassing, frequent shooting. Just a second. I have a picture. So I don't know where they got their information that there was no active shooting going on there. There you go. So, bye.
Just for the record, do we know when the photograph was taken?
It was taken this afternoon.
Okay. So we have that on the record.
If someone who wants to address this.
Well, as you know, yeah. This is not a public hearing. This is other business. Mr. Robertson, can we hear from the applicant on this?
If you have a specific question, I mean, we've often done that.
Yeah, you know. I just want to put it on the record that it's an appropriate thing to do before we.
Yeah, I would caution the commission, though, just, you know, if there's clarification, that's one thing. But, Mr. Chairman, you're right, this isn't a public hearing. And I don't want it to turn into one because there was reference during the public hearing from the applicant and those with an interest about hunting. So, and that's in the minutes from the public hearing. So I just say that if we're going to go beyond just sort of a clarification or some sort of explanation, you know, then we get into the ability for other people to be heard on it. And I just want to avoid that since it's not a public hearing.
Well, I do have one thing that I was curious about with the area that is archaeological, thank you. That would be the word I'm looking for, or historic artifacts. I was wondering if that's an area that is going to be surveyed. Are the artifacts going to be moved, or are they just going to lie there and we just think that there's artifacts there? If it's a situation where there's artifacts, they're going to be cataloged, moved out of there, then do it. And
okay. Well, the prior conditions of approval, there were five areas that were shown on the preliminary site plan, and they were marked as archaeology, preservation, conservation, easement areas located on the northeast corner and western side of the property, but they were shown on the preliminary site plan. They shall remain as perpetual easement areas. The Delaware State Historical Preservation Office, SHPO, may request permission to perform archaeological studies or excavation of the easement areas under condition agreed upon or agreed to by the applicant and sent as signs. And there was also the requirements with regard to the cemetery areas as well. And that involved the Delaware State Historic Preservation Office. And it talked about the report that would be done as part of that process. And it says, on completion of that report, artifacts associated with the Printerman family or other colonial occupants of the property discovered on the site shall be donated to SHPO and or the Lewis Historical Society. Any Native American artifacts found on the site shall be donated to the Nanticoke Indian Museum. So there were provisions within, and I'm just sort of summarizing some of those, within the site as to how those would be treated.
So I mean, certainly I wouldn't think a berm would be built on an area that was a wetland. But the rest of it, I think we would be remiss not to do something to shield the people in that neighborhood who would be moving in. It's just one of those things that somebody will say, didn't anybody look at this?
Okay. Mr. Whitehouse, do you have any comment you want to make about this?
If the commission so desired to require the berm to be partially provided in those places where the commission considers it should be provided, mm-hmm. if the commission were willing to act on it this evening, then that could be subject to staff obtaining that if the commission so wishes it. So it can be done prior to actually stamping the final drawings. Or alternatively, if it's required by the commission, we could bring it back. So there's two options here. Or the third option is if you don't wish it to be provided on the drawing, then you can act on it. I would just quickly note that there were actually two sets of landscape plans in the electronic packet on our website. There was a minor subtle revision drawing set that came in after the initial packet was posted. And the only difference is some minor changes in species and heights. So that's why there were two sets of landscape plans, just to explain. Thank you.
So just for the record, Mr. Whitehouse, the design of the landscaping plan between those two plans didn't change other than types of plantings and that sort of thing.
I think the change was for an inkberry species in substitution for another species. So it is a very minor change.
Okay.
So thank you.
And again, just factually, without getting into anything beyond that.
Yeah, nobody's asked you a question yet. It's got to be a question. Got to be a question from here. Do you have any questions that you would like to ask?
I just have the one question. Are they going to be removing the why can't I say that word? Archaeological and historic artifacts from the area.
First,
yes.
Does Mr. Whitehouse or Mr. Robertson have any information that pertaining to that? If not, then we'll let the applicant respond.
Other than what I stated from the prior.
But it sounds like they're supposed to.
Well, or they can. I wouldn't say they're supposed to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay.
That was my question.
Okay. The again, without going back to the whole, you know, it was a big subject at the time of the hearing, right. But the condition actually states is the berm shall not be required in wetland areas, which of course makes sense, or in areas containing known archaeological or historical artifacts. So I assume you have a copy of Ed Otter's letter of August 14th, and he has the map there. Basically, this is an area that did contain archaeological artifacts. They did a survey of the entire property. There were places where they did detailed work, and then but they did survey the entire property. There were artifacts here, and I think the purpose of that condition was, from SHPO's point of view, they would prefer a site remain undisturbed if there's any type of archaeological items believed to be there, so that in the future, if somebody did want to do some type of further investigation, it's not disturbed. Because as you know, once you disturb an archaeological site, it really takes away from the value of the site. So, I mean, that's why the berm's not there, because the condition said the berm's not required where that's located. And you didn't ask me about the hunting. If you want to ask me, I could add something.
Up to you. Firing minds want to know.
Go ahead. Tell me what you have to add to this, please.
Well, and again, the only reason that sign certainly is there, everyone sees the sign. It's my understanding from back then, the hunting is actually in the rear of the property. They have an actual hunting.
I could give you some more updated information.
Okay,
on that.
Well, then that's what Bill, when I spoke with one of the owners, that's what he told me. They had a shooting range
they
in the back.
They have a shooting range in the back, but there is hunting on the entire property. I spoke to one of the owners.
Okay. Well, all right, so I think the sign's up there, obviously, to discourage anyone from coming onto the property.
Yes, and that was another reason for a berm. Would be to discourage people from going into a property where there's active shooting. Well,
and I absolutely agree with that, except that the condition says, however, you do not need to put the berm in wetlands or where archaeological sites are located. And that's what this area is. I think we're doing what the condition says, so I don't know what else I can add other than if there were areas there that weren't in the archaeological or weren't in wetlands, then a berm could be put in, but that would be, I don't think, would accomplish anything. But I think the entire area is either covered by wetlands or, again, you have Ed Otter's letter showing the area of the archaeological concern.
Well, what I'd really like to do is just increase we're basically taking the use of the other person's property. Because you're not allowed to hunt within 100 feet of a residential area, correct? So there's a 50-foot, but we've taken 50 feet of their property. But since we didn't make that a condition, I'm assuming I can't make that a condition now, correct, Mr. Earl?
That's correct, yeah.
We can't.
We can't increase it from what was the original condition.
Bruce, you got anything to add to this? Any of your thoughts?
No, I agree with your concern. Could we require some type of buffer like Leland cypresses on the property line that would knit together and perhaps shield the property where the berm isn't allowed?
Right. Again, I guess that's the...
It's too late, right?
No.
Well, there is a landscaping plan that's submitted. I'm not familiar with exactly what it shows there, but I'm sure there's some type of landscaping.
Mr. Wheatley, you're the general expert on a lot of things, planning and zoning.
I've been called a lot of things, but general expert, not very often.
Well, what we have here is a situation where we made the best decision we could make with the information we had at the time we had it. And you reach a point with that once, you know, the public hearing's closed, it's closed, we can't introduce anything else, we can't change anything. Hindsight's always 20/20, and the hindsight takeaway from this is that the next time a hunting ground becomes a factor, we need to assume that it is rather than assume that it isn't.
So, Mr. Wheatley, if I could, look in it, now this is the one that's in the packet, and I don't know if it's the exact updated one, but along that boundary, you know, they have the archaeological conservation easement area. That takes up a chunk of it, and there's some wetlands. But when you look at the boundary, and you can see Mr. Whitehouse has it up there, you know, like, for example, the first grouping, there's 10 Acer rebrums, the red maples, you know, and they're 6-foot height minimums. And then in front of that, scattered willow oaks, which are 6-foot height minimums at planting, you know, with three. And then it kind of repeats itself. There's 4 American hollies that are 5-foot height. So, you know, we do have to Bruce, your concern, there is a fairly extensive landscaping that's shown there as a screen, if not a berm. I'll point that out, whether that's, you know, the decision you all want to go with.
Well,
it's not just a blank area.
Yeah, I mean, it does appear to be adequately screened, even if there's not a berm there. What I am not an expert on is hunting, and I don't know if a berm makes a, I mean, what would the purpose be? Was it to be a physical barrier from a stray shot, or, you know,
physical barrier as well as?
Well, the condition actually says the purpose of it. There shall be a 6-foot tall berm within the 50-foot buffer along the northwest boundary to provide a visual buffer to the active shooting area adjacent to this development. So, at least by the condition that was imposed, it was, you know, not a physical barrier, it was a visual one.
Okay. Now, in the covenants, which I read through, which apparently don't allow anything, but they did have the agricultural, but I did not see anything in there about hunting, that they would, they're next door to an active shooting area, and they need to know that.
And that was a condition. That was, I think it was, I sort of looked at that too. That was, because I reviewed the restricted covenants for all that stuff. And that was condition N. So there does need to be, I don't think that needs to hold up the, you know, what you all want to do on the final site plan. But that was a condition, that there needs to be the hunting notice in there along with the ag notice and the conditions.
All right, then.
For the record, I'm abstaining from this one.
Okay.
All right, then. I'm going to make a motion, Bruce, because I don't.
Okay. I'm going to make a motion to approve it as drawn. For Tower Hill Subdivision 2018-17, FKA the Groom property, final subdivision and landscape plan based on the berm or the trees taken to the place, the landscape taking the place of the berm.
Would you add in there that the, to make sure the covenants include that they're they're moving in next to an active shooting area?
So moved.
That can be something staff can review, just on that.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure it was in the record
right.
It was going, it had to be in there.
Right.
I see this is here as a final. Do we have everything else?
Correct, so would you have all the agency approvals?
Okay.
Prior to issuing.
Just making sure.
This time, yeah.
Right.
Then I second it.
Okay, so moved and seconded to approve Tower Hill Subdivision 2018-17, formerly known as the Groom property, final subdivision plan and landscape plan. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 3-0 with 1 abstaining. Okay,
thank you.
The next item is the Villas at Walden, site plan number 18-82, amenities plan.
This is an amenities plan for the Villas at Walden, a development consisting of 100 townhomes with a pool house to be located off Sloan Road. The amenities plan consists of a 1,540 square foot pool, 283 square foot pool house, 108 square foot equipment room, and other site improvements. The preliminary site plan with amenities placeholder was approved by the Planning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, December 20th, 2018. The Planning and Zoning Office approved the final site plan on March 4th, 2019. The amenities plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code. The tax parcel is District 234, Map 17, Parcel 29.00. The zoning district is MR, Medium Density Residential Zoning District, and staff are in receipt of all agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the amenities plan for the villas at Walden, S1882.
A second.
Moved and seconded to approve the amenities plan for the villas at Walden site plan number 1882 as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is Coastal Corner site plan number 19-12, conditional use 2130, formerly known as Fred Hudson property, final site plan.
This is a final site plan for 16 townhome units, a pool with a pool house, and 40 parking spaces. The townhome units will be located on the northeast corner of Cedar Neck Road, Sussex County Road 357, and Fred Hudson Road, Sussex County Road 360. The preliminary site plan was approved with conditions by the Planning and Zoning Commission at their meeting of Thursday, April 25th, 2019. Tax parcels are District 134, Map 13, Parcels 72 and 72.01. The zoning is MR, Medium Density Residential Zoning District, and staff are in receipt of all agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the final site plan for Coastal Corner, S19-12, conditional use 2130, FKA Fred Hudson property.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve Coastal Corner site plan number S19-12, conditional use 2130, formerly known as Fred Hudson property. Final site plan as a final. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And I abstain on that.
You may. Opposed? Carried 3-1 with Ms. Wingate abstaining. Our next item is Hardy Self-Storage of Bridgeville site plan 20-26, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for 14 proposed 2,500 square foot mini storage buildings with a 660 square foot office. The storage units will be located on the northeast side of Sussex Highway Route 13 and the southwest side of Seashore Highway Route 404. The site contains a wellhead protection area, which obtained a variance on August 15, 2019, in order to modify the protection perimeter to accommodate the proposed site design. Additionally, the site was granted a 55-foot variance from the required 60-foot front yard through Board of Adjustment Case Number 12237, which was approved on February 5, 2019, and reduced the front yard setback to 5 feet. The tax parcel is District 131, Map 15, Parcel 24.03. The zoning is C1, General Commercial Zoning District, and staff are awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the preliminary site plan for Hardy Self-Storage of Bridgeville, S-20-26, with final to be by staff on the receipt of all agency approvals.
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the Hardy Self-Storage of Bridgeville site plan number 20-26 as a preliminary, with final approval to be by the staff, subject receipt of all other permits. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is Dollar General Lincoln site plan 20-27, preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for 9,100 square foot Dollar General retail store and 30 parking spaces. The Dollar General will be located on the south side of Johnson Road, Sussex County Road 207. The applicant is requesting a modification in the parking layout with 15 parking spaces proposed within the front yard setback, as well as providing 30 parking spaces where 39 spaces are required. The preliminary site plan complies with the Sussex County Zoning Code, and the tax parcel is District 230, Map 5.20, Parcels 43, and District 230, Map 6.17, Parcel 1.01. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and B1, Neighborhood Business Zoning District, and staff are awaiting all agency approvals.
On this one, I don't have a problem with the reduction in parking because the place where it's located, I know this very well. I mean, a lot of people will be walking to this Dollar General. I have no trouble with that.
Okay.
I do, however, still have problems with the whole putting it in the front yard setback.
Okay.
Just because, again, it's another case of somebody, you know, consistency. Yeah.
Mr.
Mr. Whitehouse, is there any hardship here presented by this, or?
There is a letter that was included in the packet, and that's this letter here. So we requested the requirement, the parking subsection, if you've got a total of number of parking spaces, be relaxed, and then that's for the number of parking spaces.
Right.
But I didn't see a request. There's a second
letter. There's a second one, yeah. It's either before or right after that.
There it is, yeah. So it's within their written letter submitted to the applicant. Basis for request. As the site is physically unable to provide the parking elsewhere on the property within the allotted area, with this we are requesting the proposed 15 spaces may be permitted within the front setback. So the applicant is saying that they can't provide them elsewhere on the site.
Claiming hardship, okay.
You realize that the same people own every piece of property around that. Who own that piece of property? I mean, I'm not an engineer, but it looks like you could turn the building sideways and put them on the side. Mr. Hopkins, you know more about these kinds of things than I do.
Well, I'm not a chef either, but I could cook some good tenderloin. But there could be any number of reasons why the engineer would have laid it out that way, and maybe your thoughts would work. But I would be careful to.
It looks like they have to have the access drive on the side of those for the trucks bringing in.
Well, and fire marshal will require them to have access to 50% of the perimeter.
They did have interconnectivity, I noticed.
I did notice that, and yeah. I appreciated that. Of course, that's required now.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
But still sometimes a fight.
What we don't know, Ms. Stevens, is if the loading area could be relocated to the rear, for example. We have no information on that, but if it could, then that would allow for spaces in the site. So.
If you look at the property on the mapping, it shares the property with
someone next to it.
Right, so that's it right there. The buildings next to it are part of that same parcel. And it looks like it's gone over to the next parcel as well, but so.
If I can interrupt. So they are actually proposing some lot line adjustments in there as well. So the business that's on the right, well, our right-hand side next to railroad tracks, it's actually gonna end up being its own parcel. And then the Dollar General is going to be on its own parcel as well, which as you can see where these lot lines are coming on.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's going to stay connected to
the cover. And it'll take up part of the other parcel next door, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the house is now. So.
Which is where they're showing the interconnectivity to that parcel. I think that line is just being moved over slightly. That parcel may be getting a little bigger from what I understood when we spoke.
Okay. Would they have to, it says the building line restriction is on there. Would that be something they would have to go to the Board of Adjustments to change, or is it just can't do it?
Only for buildings and structures. So if the loading area were to be relocated to the rear, the building restriction line wouldn't stop that unless there was a building or structure as part of the loading area. From looking at the drawing, there's no unusual topography in this area in the rear, although the septic field is shown dashed in red. There doesn't appear to be anything in this area that would prevent access, and unless, of course, they needed to put it in this location in order to access it with a suitably sized turning area for a vehicle. So there may be a functional reason why it's located here and not further to the rear.
Are they not, are you not allowed to have parking where there is a loading area?
There is a requirement for one loading bay as part of the use, but we would usually advise that they not be used in the same area. So a loading bay area would be separate to parking.
Because I would assume that, you know, while trucks were there loading and unloading, there were not going to be 30 other people who had to come in and park at that time. So
it could be shared. We wouldn't normally arrange a site like that. We'd normally have a dedicated loading bay for the use.
Wouldn't they struggle to get tractor trailers behind that building?
Possibly.
And fire truck.
So, but they could put other parking there.
There you have it. Because it doesn't back up to a highway.
Yeah.
The
parking in the front setback. The 15 spaces up at the top are in the front setback.
What about making the exception for shared use?
15, yeah.
And you're trying to figure out how to not use that?
No, how to not, because we're trying to make the, you know, let everybody know that, no, we're not doing that anymore. Because people are coming up, they're just designing that way with, oh, well, we'll get an exception. And, if it's a legitimate hardship, that's one thing, but.
What is that? Is that a pedestrian trail in front of the parking?
There are no sidewalks in Lincoln right now.
An easement. Oh, that's the easement.
I was going to say, they haven't proposed putting a sidewalk in here either.
What about making an exception for the loading dock shared use with the parking in this application?
Won't that create a situation where a truck shows up to make a delivery and there's cars already parked there, and then they got to try and get the people out of the store? Put the
cones out.
Put the cones out.
That's what they do in Selbyville. Right on Main Street.
Yeah.
Church Street.
There you go.
I'm going to, you guys can disagree with me. I'm going to make a motion to deny the preliminary site plan for the Dollar General Lincoln S-20-27, asking them to come back, if they want to come back, to not have parking in the front setback.
I second that motion.
That's a moved and seconded to deny the preliminary site plan for Dollar General Lincoln, site plan 20-27, for the reasons stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is lands of Martin L. Ross, minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement.
We might have to get this one some special.
We have to take a very close, very close look at this one.
This one is a pretty shady one, yeah.
Pretty close look at this
one. And I'm sure he's watching.
I'm sure he is. Hello, Marty. All right, what can we do for Marty here? What do we got?
This is a preliminary subdivision plan for a minor subdivision off 130.07 acre parcel to create two lots. Lot 1 will consist of 10 acres and lot 2 will consist of 16.22 acres. Residual lands will consist of 103.85 acres. This property is located off Whitesville Road, which is Sussex County Road 64, and the proposed 50-foot easement will be over an existing driveway. The preliminary subdivision plan complies with the Sussex County zoning and subdivision code. The tax parcel is District 532, Map 16, Parcel 14.00. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and staff are in receipt of all agency approvals.
Mr. Chair.
Before you act, should we hold the record open to study it for a little bit longer? No, I'm just kidding.
Take a field trip. Should we,
there's a lot going on this plan. You know, I mean, it might need some extra scrutiny. There's a lot of lines on the plan.
We'd have to do it in a bubble.
I'm kidding.
I think we're safe to proceed with this.
Okay. Sure. Mr. Chair, with regards to lands of Martin L. Ross, I move for approval of the minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement for lands of Martin L. Ross. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. thank you.
Hope staff keeps tabs on that guy, you know, as he goes forward.
That's right. You know, watch what's going on there.
You know, there's some people in here who don't know.
I was going to say. Are we thinking what?
Just for the record, Mr. Ross was a former commissioner of the Planning and Zoning Commission. That's
yes,
why.
Yes, he was. And a good one, too.
Yeah, he was very good.
And a very good one, too. All right, our next item is minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement for Lands of Whaley.
This is a preliminary subdivision plan for a minor subdivision off a 3-acre parcel into a 1-acre lot off of an existing 50-foot easement. The property is located off Hudson Road, Sussex County Road 458 in Laurel, Delaware. The tax parcel is District 332, Map 9, Parcel 8.02. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential Zoning District, and staff are awaiting agency approvals.
Mr. Chair, with regards to Lands of Whaley, I move for approval of the minor subdivision of 50-foot easement.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minor subdivision off a 50-foot easement for Lands of Whaley. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right, then.